with Pauline Lady for the Millworkers Oral History Project on May 15th in Lewiston, Maine. I'm Alexis Grossman interviewing. And it's okay that I record this interview?
Definitely.
Could you state your name, please?
Pauline Labby.
And what is your date of birth?
April 1st, 1942.
Yeah, we got
to. Where were you born?
Right here in Lewiston.
So you grew up in Lewiston?
Yeah.
Went to school.
Went to local schools.
Yeah. Okay. What were your parents' names?
Teresa and Leo Provenci. Very French.
Yeah. Teresa.
And Leo Provenci.
Could you write
them? Let me get the glasses. Okay.
Together.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Did you want my mother's maiden name?
Sure.
I'll just put it under her name, is that okay?
Mm-hmm. And they were both really French?
Yes.
French Canadian?
Yeah. Yeah.
And where was your father and mother born?
My mother was born in Canada, in Sherbrooke.
Okay.
And my dad was born right here in Lewiston. Yeah.
Really local family.
Yeah.
Did they work in the mills?
My mom did. My mom did for 37 years. My dad worked in a shoe shop.
And what kind of work did they do in the mills?
My mom was a doffer. She worked in a spinning room.
That's called doffer.
Doffer, yeah. They take off the bobbins and they put in new bobbins when they're full.
Mm-hmm. She was 37 years. Wow. How old was she when she started?
Oh my goodness, I think probably right out of school, maybe. I think that was her first and only job. I think she was probably 17, 18.
Wow, that's her only job.
Well, until they closed. Uh-huh. And then they closed, and then she went to work at a couple of other places, but it was a short time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What mill did she work in?
She was in the Hill.
Is yeah. that the one you worked
in? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your dad worked in a shoe shop in Boston? Was that his only job?
Yeah, he always did. He was a sole layer in a shoe shop. His whole lifetime.
Wow. Do you have any siblings?
No, only child.
How would you describe your family life when you were growing up?
Oh, very good. My parents were very strict. The upbringing was very, very French.
Uh-huh.
And my grandmother lived with us, so.
Okay.
That's something they did back then a lot. My grandfather died, my grandmother moved in with us and stayed with us.
Mm-hmm. Did your grandmother live in Lewiston before your grandfather died?
Yes, yeah, she did, yeah. But she originally was in Canada,
okay.
too, so, yeah.
How would you describe your cultural heritage or ethnic background?
How would I describe it? Very family oriented. Very loud, the French people laugh, yeah, very loud.
Mm-hmm.
very boisterous when you get together. And there's a lot of us to get together because most of my cousins had like a 7, 10, 12 people in the family. So I was, I was an only child, but I spent a lot of my time at my aunt's house because I loved all the kids,
uh-huh.
being there with all the kids.
Is that your mom's sister?
My mom's sister, yeah, they were very close.
And so you said your mom was from
Sherbrooke. Yeah.
And your dad was from Lewiston.
Yeah.
And your grandmother was from?
Yeah, well, that was my mother's mother, so she was in Sherbrooke also.
Okay.
And when she moved here, she did not speak a word of English.
Okay.
And my grandfather worked on the railroad, and he was gone. like 6 days a week, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. When she was stuck with all the kids, she had 14 children.
Wow.
So that was a pretty, I mean, not a very happy life, I would say, you know,
yeah,
being alone with a kid like that.
Yeah. And so your ethnic identity would be French Canadian. And how do you celebrate your heritage today? Do you have any customs?
Oh, definitely, especially around Christmas time. We have a thing which they call after midnight. You go to church, and then after midnight, you stay up almost all night, and you eat the tocales and all the French stuff.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing. It's always been a big part of our celebrating time.
Yeah. So you speak French?
Oh yes. Yeah. I went to French school for 12 years. So yeah.
Did you? Where did you go to college?
I didn't go to college. High school.
Okay.
St. John's. Yeah. St. Peter's and St. John's.
Is there anything else about your family you want to know?
I don't know.
How long have you been married?
43 years.
And how did you meet your husband?
That's where we met, at the Hill.
At the Hill?
Yeah. I was in the office, and he was, as a matter of fact, he went with my mother in the spinning room. And he used to watch me come out at noontime when he'd come out and watch me tell my mother, I'm going to go out with that girl. But my mother didn't want him to, because he was just a mill worker.
Uh-huh.
So she didn't want me to marry a mill worker.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So she never told him she was my mother. So my girlfriend also worked at the mill, and she fixed this up on a blind date.
Uh-huh.
Half blind date, he knew about me, I didn't know him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was it. That clicked right then and there.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
So how many years did you guys know each other?
Before we got married? 3 years.
3 years.
No, two.
So you worked in the office.
Mm-hmm.
When did you get married?
1962.
And did you get married in Lewiston?
Yeah. At St. Peter's Church. Cathedral now.
Yeah. And the reception, what was it like?
At the reception, that was 300 people. Yeah. And it was at the Sons of Italy. It's closed now. So look, clear place on College Street.
What was the name of it?
Sons of Italy. Yeah.
And so I'm sure there are lots of French relatives there.
Yes. Yes, that's all it was.
Is your husband French?
Yeah, Labby is French. Yeah.
Do you have any children?
Yeah, I've got three girls. We had a son, but he died of SIDS when he was 5 months old. Our firstborn was a boy. So. And we have three daughters.
Three girls, what other ages?
Okay, Cheryl's going to be 40 this summer. Kelly's going to be 38. And Kim is 34.
When did you start having children?
No, a year. I've been married a year and about a little over a year when my son was born.
And did you stop working when you had children?
Well, after, when he passed away, I told my husband, I said, I am never going to work again and have my somebody else bring out my children. So thank God he changed jobs after that, and we were able to do that. And I stayed home, and I was very happy to be home with my kids and raise them myself and see them grow up.
Yeah.
So.
Do you really want to?
No, not really. Not really. I was very happy being home with the kids. I did not drive till I was 35 years old, mind you. When I think back on it and how I did it.
Yeah.
With three kids in the house and not driving. We lived here.
Oh, wow.
And here was used to be country. They used to call these a country because there wasn't too many homes that were built up then. Yeah.
And so once you stopped working after you had your first child,
mm-hmm.
you never went back to work?
Oh, I did after the kids grew up. I did.
Okay.
I worked at, I was the secretary at the Carpenters Union Hall for a while. I worked at NAMSU in the office for a while. And my last job, I was doing greeting cards in the grocery store, which I loved.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had a knee replacement, so that took care of that. So now I'm retired.
That's fun.
Yeah, now we travel a lot. So.
Yeah. Where do you guys travel?
Well, we've been all over Europe. We've been to Africa. We're going to China in August. We've been to Spain, we've been so many places, I can't think of all of them. And I think of this, the 17 countries we've been to so far.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and we figured we're going to do it while we can. We're both healthy. Because if you wait till you retire, who knows if you're going to do it or not, you know? You don't have the help to get it.
Yeah. My parents are about to retire.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay, where did your children go to elementary and secondary school?
Okay, they went to Holy Cross right here. Very
is that,
traditional.
Is that right down the road?
Yeah, it's right on Lisbon Street. Used to the church, right back of the church. It's still open.
Okay.
And my granddaughter is going there. My grandson's going to be going there.
Wow.
So, and then they went to St. John's, all three of them.
That's the high school?
Yeah.
And where did they go to college?
Shayla went to college, oh my God, what was the name of that? It was in Boston. What in the heck was the name of that place?
Yeah, we had
it wasn't a very well-known college. I can't remember the name of it. It was a fashion designing school. So, yeah. And my middle daughter went to, she went to X-ray, to be an X-ray technician. And then, well, she did not really like it because her grandfather came in and she's like, I can't handle this. I don't want to do this anymore. So now she's a dental assistant. So she didn't really go. She just went to that X-ray technician school for 2 years and that was it. And my youngest one, she went to Boston also. And, oh boy, she went to Boston for 2 years, and it was a very expensive college. And then she ended up coming here to Maine and going to University of Maine.
Okay.
And, one of the University of Maine's anyways. And then she got her master's, and now she wants to get a doctorate. So she's doing super well.
Cool. Yeah. Is that the one that's going to India?
No. Okay. No, that's my youngest one that's doing that. She's the one we were most worried about because when she was in high school, she didn't give a darn about any of that. I said, what are we going to do? She's not going to graduate.
Yeah.
And look at what's happening now. She just applied for a doctorate to be a psychologist. So she's working with little kids. So, you know, she started with kids with autism.
Okay.
And now she's working, she evaluates kids because see if they can be mainstream or all this stuff. So, and she loves it.
Did your children work in mills too?
No.
That's a no.
They didn't work in mills, but they worked in the summertime during my high school years. They worked at Sappi, where my husband works now. It's a paper mill.
They worked, what's it called?
Sappi. It's South African pulp and paper.
Okay. So they worked there during the summer?
Yeah, and they earned really good money for, you know, to help them out with college and everything. So.
Where is that?
It's in. Isn't that wonderful? Skowhegan.
Is it in that area? So when did you begin working in the mill?
Right out of high school. Yeah, my uncle, he was one of the big shots in there, and he got me in there. So that, you know, back then, if you had pull, he got you in there, so.
So your uncle was what?
He was head of the electrical department.
And do you have any other family that worked in the mills?
Some of my aunts and uncles worked in the mills, yeah.
And you said your mom?
My mom, yeah.
So the only job you had while you were there was in the office?
Yeah.
What kind of work was in the office?
Payroll. Yeah.
Was there like a difference between the people that worked at the actual mill, like spinning the cotton and stuff like that, and between someone who worked in the office? Or was it just sort of like the job that you got? Or did you apply
then? Yeah, well, you had to be a high school graduate to work in the office and all this. And the milling was, you know, like my mother went to the, what, seventh grade? Mm-hmm. You know, most of the people that kind of dropped out of school, you know, worked in the mill. So.
So what kind of products did
they make? They wove the cotton, and goodness, what, I don't know what they did with the cotton after, to be very honest with you, because that's when it would leave our place, it would have to be, you know, I don't, no, they didn't make cotton, no, they did in a classroom. My God, that was so long ago. Did they make sheets? They probably did make sheets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the blankets were made like at Bates.
Okay.
So there was the Bates, the Hill, and the Andrews Frog, and there were three different mills close to each other. So.
And they each did different things?
Different things, yeah.
So the Bates mill made the blankets?
The blankets, yeah.
And
in Martha, Washington.
And then, the
cotton? Yeah, one more cotton type thingy.
And what did the third one?
The Andrews Scroggin? I don't know if I don't know what that was. Didn't know anyone who worked there.
Was it good work? Like, what was your experience like working there?
Oh, it was wonderful. The people were really nice, and it was, I was there for about 6 years. So it was good.
Okay.
And I mean, but back then, you're making good money when you worked there.
Yeah.
You made $62 a week.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah.
Because some of my girlfriends, they'd have a little office job somewhere, and it would be like $49.
Yeah.
So back then, that was a good. I think about it that now.
Yeah. And so, what kind of hours did you work?
8 to 5.
And you thought these hours were fair?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Did you get paid for overtime?
Yeah. And we worked overtime twice a year because we had to go in the mill and we had to inventory all the bales of cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a messy job. It stunk so bad that cotton, it gets in your nose and it really in a strong smelling.
Yeah. So I'm sure it was a lot harder to work.
In the mill, yeah. Because they mostly was piecework and they worked hard.
Yeah. Was it men and women that worked?
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of them were during the war. That's when they hired a lot of women.
Uh-huh.
So the women stayed on.
And can you explain what you did when you worked overtime? You took inventory of the bales?
The bales of cotton. They were not big burlap. They were about this high. And you'd have to go in the mill and it's, my God, all over the place. There's all the place you had to go. You had to slide down to get into where all the bales were. And it was dark and musty. And they told us to look out for rats and all that good stuff. So you weren't too keen on working overtime, I'll tell you.
Yeah, but you got paid.
Yeah, we got paid.
Yeah. So the office, the payroll office that you worked in, were there mostly women in that office?
Yeah, just that the managers were the men, was two men, and all the rest were women. And you each had, I had my own department, I had the weave room I had to take care of.
The weave room,
yeah. And they count the picks. This is how they got paid, how many picks they made, how fast it could work. And that's what I would count, they would percentage it out. And they get paid according to what the picks that they had done.
So you would have to go through however many picks each person would.
Yeah, they'd get you the big sheets and the picks were all written on there. And you would have to add them up and divide them out and all this good stuff and figure out how much they made. And if you worked on third shift, you made how many? 75 cents more? You were working on third shift.
What's third shift?
Oh, third shift. There were three shifts.
Uh-huh.
There was a day shift, the evening shift, because it ran continuously 24 hours a day. And the third shift was from 11 to 7. And for working 11 to 7, you made $75 more.
Yeah.
An hour.
Exhausted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did a lot of people?
Oh, yeah. A lot of people. Yeah, isn't that my husband did it for a while?
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it mostly men that did that?
No, it was women, men. And I mean, the women worked as hard as the men in there, I'll tell you.
Did one particular ethnic group hold one job more than another? Like, was there a big division between, like, the French Canadians and the Irish that worked in the mills, or the locals?
Well, I think the majority of people were French that were in the mill. There was some Irish people, but I mean, if I go by the names I remember, it was mostly French,
right.
Very, very French people.
Right. And so do you, when you talk about, when you say French, you mean like French Canadians,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you didn't really notice a big distinction between different?
No, the end, mostly people would speak French in the mill, because everybody spoke French.
So there was never any like conflicts?
No. Okay. No, not really.
So I know you mentioned this before, but if an individual wanted a particular job, how would they go about getting that job in the mill?
Like, in the mill, you'd have to apply to the personnel office. And they'd start to, maybe like as a sweeper, or, you know, start with the menial jobs that weren't, they weren't to piecework. So then after that, well, if somebody got sick or somebody quit or whatever, then you could apply for that job and become a pieceworker.
What is
piecework? I mean, you get paid, like I told you, the picks, according to the how many picks they did, they were pieceworkers.
Okay.
And the same thing, like my mother being a doctor, how many frames? The frames was a whole big section of with the bobbins on it, whole big section, hard to describe. How many of those she would do, how fast she could do them.
And
the faster you work, yeah, but bobbins, yeah. Yeah, and you'd have to make sure they wouldn't break. If the thread was breaking, you'd be, you'd have to shut off the whole frame and fix it, and, yeah.
And so I bet it definitely helped to know somebody even now, to get
well, yeah. Oh yeah, definitely, definitely.
Do you think most people got their job in the mill from knowing? Like,
yeah, like if my father was working, they'd say, hey, you know, I want to bring in my son and talk to the guy in personnel and say, well, bring him over, we'll give him a try, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's basically how it worked.
So there was a lot of families that worked?
Oh yeah, a lot of families, yeah.
Do you think that the mills like to hire family members, the same family?
Well, I do if one of them was a good worker. You know, it would reflect on whoever else wanted to come in. And
yeah. Sure, it kept people working.
Yeah.
They wanted to keep up a reputation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Did mill workers ever become supervisors? Or?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
So it was pretty. Would you say it's easy to move up? Like in the
well, if somebody died, like I said, or somebody retired, then they usually pick someone because after you get to know the place pretty well, and they pick somebody that knew pretty much what was going on to try to to become a boss.
Yeah. What were relations like from like worker to worker?
Yeah, friendly, but there was always a lot of jealousy. If one person would make more money than the other, that was a big thing. I remember my mother coming home and talking about that. But, we can't tell how much we make because then we don't want to be jealous and to be upset. And actually, there was sexual harassment there that wasn't recognized as sexual harassment, I'll tell you right now. Yeah.
Between supervisors.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that's everywhere anyway, so.
Yeah. What was the relationship like between workers and bosses and also workers and owners of the mills? Do you know the owner or was there a difference?
The owners, I mean, they were, like kind of out of reach. They were, the workers were closer than I'd say the owners were a little bit up there, and yeah, because they come in once in a while, and we say, oh my god, they have the needles here.
Yeah, but you and your relationship with your boss, you mentioned like sexual harassment.
I meant in the mill, not in the office.
Between workers. Oh, in the actual mill.
In the actual mill, yeah. Well, I had my mother talk about it, say that we slapped his face and all this stuff, and
So that never happened in the office?
Not in the office, oh no. It was very prim and proper, and my boss wore a little bow tie, and if you can picture that.
Yeah. So you always go along with your boss?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Were there any other conflicts that you could remember in the office or in the mills?
Not that I remember. The office, we got along really well. Helped each other. If somebody was, back and they had their work, they'd help them out. Very helpful. Yeah.
And do you know, I guess from your mother or your husband, do you remember what the conditions were like working in the mill?
They were tough.
Yeah.
They were tough. I mean, these people worked hard. They earned their money, I'll tell you right now. Yeah. Because I remember my mother kept getting home exhausted.
It was a very physical work.
Very. Yeah. She's a tough lady. She's always been a tough lady, and I think that's where she got tough,
Yeah.
She's still alive now, and she just had 2 hip replacements and a knee replacement, and she still drives her own car.
That's great.
So I think that's what made her so tough.
Yeah. So is she still, feeling the effects from working in the mills for so long?
I think she enjoyed it.
Really?
I really do. It was a challenge to her, always, and I really think she, because when she talks about, way back about her job, the mill is what she talks the most about, you know.
So she never experienced any injuries when she was out from there?
Anyone?
Injuries?
No, not that I know of. I remember.
Did you have health insurance when you worked there?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. What were the benefits like?
Well, it was so different back then because, my God, I mean, it wasn't expensive to go to the hospital. We looked it out in my bill when I had my first baby, and I think it was something like $79 or something.
Wow.
Yeah. So health insurance wasn't like it is now, you know. So we had pretty good coverage, I guess, because between my husband and myself being there, so.
Yeah. And who paid for, I don't know if you know, but who paid for the cost of an injury on the job?
I don't know that. No.
And do you have paid leave for illness or injury?
I'm not pregnant. You had 6 weeks for a pregnancy.
And that's paid?
Yeah.
You worked in the mill for 6 years, you said.
Yeah.
And so did you, and you left because of you. I asked you sort of what your experience was like in the mills, but I'm also interested in what the Lewiston community was like while you worked in the mills.
It was awesome. We had Lisbon Street that had all the stores. I mean, the whole Lisbon Street was all stores open, and I mean, people. It was so much nicer than having these malls, you know. Because we used to go down, of course, when I was younger, we'd go down there on Monday nights. And that was the night that boys would go cruising for girls and we'd walk around. And Saturdays, we'd go shopping all day. And I mean, I don't know how many stores there were, but there was a lot of them.
Wow.
It was a shopping time. Yeah, it's not like it looks now, I'll tell you.
I can't picture it.
No, everything from Sears to Montgomery Ward's to a lot of dress shops and different things. And people were so friendly and knew everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was so different.
And so I guess, was it a very close-knit community?
Yes, definitely, yeah.
And did that sort of increase as you grew up here and as the mills were popular? I guess the whole time that you were growing up, the mills were very popular.
Yeah, that's where everybody worked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you know you were gonna work in the mills when you grew up here, when you were growing up?
Not really. No, well, in the first place, that I wanted to be an artist. I loved to draw and paint and stuff, and I wanted to go to art school in Portland. My parents were in London. It was too far. Portland was much too far for me to go to school, and I had high school. I didn't really need any more schooling. That's their way of thinking back then, you know. So I didn't really do what I wanted to do. So this was a job. My uncle got me the job, and I feel grateful that he got you the job. So that's how I got to work there.
And so what were like popular things to do in Lewiston?
Back then?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. As an adult?
Yeah.
Yeah, as an adult, okay. My goodness, there used to be all kinds of places for dancing. We used to go dancing a lot. There was the Heatmore, and there was the Roundhouse, and there was so many places to go. And it was a lot more than now, you know. It's so hard for people to find something to do. Yeah, we have to go to Portland to do everything now, you know?
Yeah.
Shopping and everything, because there's only JCPenney's here.
Yeah.
That's paid for.
Yeah.
So it's sad to see it go down like that, you know? So hopefully this rebuilding they're doing is going to help.
Yeah. And so that was like around, that was like in the 70s that it started to, that the mill started.
Yeah. That's when it started going down, and stores on Lisbon Street started closing. They started with the mall. That took it away, you know. It was so neat to have new malls and place indoors to go shopping and stuff. So,
Where do people mostly live?
They live downtown, and it was beautiful. It was all French people, okay? And people, I mean, they were very, very clean. And you'd see people sweeping their sidewalks, and keeping everything so organized. Everything was always painted, like Pier Street and all those streets were wonderful streets to live on. It was, I lived on Pier Street. It was a terrific street. I mean, it was the upper crust that lived there, Pierce and Bartlett and all these streets on Dunham. And it was all, like I said, all French people and very, very close. They'd go at night, you'd sit down on the porch and they'd go and talk to each other. And but now I wouldn't even want to walk down there.
Is that, I don't know, is that Little Canada?
Okay, Little Canada, that's when people, they came from Canada, when they came from Canada. This is where they get settled in. And it was a Marcotte Furniture down on Lincoln Street. He'd meet him at the train and he'd tell him, you know, okay, I'll find you an apartment and I'll get you the furniture. You can pay me so much a week, something like $2 a week, $3 a week. And he'd get him in the mill.
Wait, that's who was
how, that? Marcotte Furniture. He's got the owner of Marcotte Furniture. And that's how that little community, that was all very, very French in there, too, Little Canada, that's what they called it that.
But that's different from Pier Street.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's very different. Pier Street, it's upper, it's, you know where St. Peter's Church is?
Yeah.
Well, those streets right off of there, but now it's awful,
yeah.
It's all run down and it's terrible. But back then, it was very nice. Yeah.
Okay, so you did, what kind of other social activities were you doing?
Oh, there was dancing and there was, what else would we do? I have to think back here, besides raising the kids. there was a lot more restaurants, too, to eat. Downtown, there's a lot of restaurants. It was Pepino's, and there's a lot on Main Street, and Nichols Tea Room, where we used to go have our nice bounty special.
was Pat's Pizza around then?
Oh, no, no Pat's Pizza. The only thing around was Luigi's.
Oh, really?
You know Luigi's Pizza?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that was about the only one. That and Sam's, only Sam's on Main Street.
Oh, yeah.
There wasn't all these Sam's all over the place. One Sam's and one Luigi's, and that's what you had for pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything else is closed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, did the mill workers, did you socialize with them outside of the mill or outside of your office?
Yeah, we did. We'd go out with some of his friends, and we'd go dancing with them or else go out to dinner. Stuff like that. We did socialize it.
Was there a lot of community activities, concerts, or festivals, or sports games?
Well, the arena was really, really, really a big thing to go for hockey games and stuff. That was another big thing. As for concerts, there wasn't that many. Once in a while in the city park, they'd have something going on, like the 4th of July or something like that. But for concerts besides that, back then, not really.
Was there any traditional parades or anything like that?
Oh yes, the 4th of July parade, and there was a Memorial Day parade, and there was all kinds of parades back then. Matter of fact, I was in one of them. Morton Wooden Men of America. It was an insurance group, and we get to carry the banner. that was a big thing, those parades. It was beautiful parades, the floats and everything else, yeah.
Were there particular French Canadian or French celebrations or anything like that?
In the wintertime, they had snowshoers would come up and they'd have a big parade. They'd come from all over Canada and they'd dress in all these, snowshoers off. I don't know if you've ever seen their outfits.
I know.
Then it was a club. They had all these clubs all over. They had three or four right here in Lewiston. In all over Canada, they had this huge parade, and it was always on a Sunday, and they'd always go to St. Peter's Church for Mass, and they filled up the whole upstairs, which was quite huge. They'd fill up the whole area, that's how big it was. So that was a big thing. That was a festival they did have, because that would last the whole weekend. They'd have races, and they'd have all kinds of, they're trying to walk with the rackets on their feet and stuff, and snowshoes and stuff like that.
And that was during the winter.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore.
No, I think they've all in this band. I mean, the last they had a building on Lincoln Street, and that's been condemned. The last of the snowshoers that used to be here. So,
did the mill sponsor any social organizations or sport leagues?
I think they did, yes. I'm pretty sure they did. I don't know, one thing that they had put on, the mill had put on, they had Maurice Chevalier, I don't know if you know who he was, he's dead now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they had brought him here, and there was a big banquet at the arena, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. They had him singing for us and stuff. Yeah, that was quite something back then.
Mm-hmm. So when you think of life in New York and the mills and like Lewiston and else, do you consider mill life and Lewiston like community life to be very intertwined or are they like separate?
Well, no, they're not intertwined anymore, you know. But back then, I would say yes. Yeah, definitely.
So did everything sort of revolve around those, would you say?
Back then, yeah, it did. Yeah.
Were there any political organizations that you remember that were involved with the mill?
Well, they did have a union in the mill. And you had, I don't think you had a choice, you had to belong to the union. Textile union, yeah. Because they had gotten on strike a few times, and they couldn't get the raise that they wanted. And that was kind of scary for everyone, you know.
Yeah. When the union would.
Well, people, they were going to strike, you know, because of not getting a pay raise.
What year was that?
Oh, my God. I can't.
Okay.
I don't know if I was working there then or not. So, but I remember, you know, that talking about it. The year I couldn't tell you.
But it was a big deal.
It was a very big deal. It was very scary because everybody. It was a livelihood for everyone, you know. And in front of the mills, there were some buildings, brick buildings, and that's where a lot of people lived that worked in the mill. And then I think one burned down, and then they tore the other ones down. But that was a big thing too, because you know, you live right across the street from the mill and you could go right in there.
Mm-hmm. Did a majority of people live that close to the mills or
no.
Did they live out?
No, they like I said, they live downtown mostly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this house was considered in the country?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, because it was this house here, the house next to us. There was nothing across the street. And yeah, there was a hill the kids used to go across to go play with the kids on the other street. And my mother-in-law thought, my God, you lived in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you part of a church or religious organization when you were growing up? Or
St. Peter's. Tell you, pretty boring.
Do you go to the French Mass?
No, we go here at Holy Cross.
My friend sang
it. Oh, really?
Yeah. For a couple of weeks, she would go and sing in French. Sing a French thing right before, I think, the Mass would start.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Okay, so you went to St. Peter's when you were growing up, and now you go to
Holy Cross. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did your involvement with the church influence your work in the mill at all?
I don't think so. No.
Do most of your friends go to St. Peter's or
to
go to St.
Yeah.
In the mills or office, was religion discussed?
No, never. No.
Conflicts between ethnic groups in the community, in like the outside of the community when you were growing up, do you remember?
I remember hearing about it, but not actually seeing it. The Irish people and the French people, well, Little Canada was, but the Irish people lived in Auburn, right across the river, and there was conflict between. But I actually never saw, just heard stories about it.
Right. Was there a big divide between people who lived in Lewiston and people who lived in Auburn? Or did they just sort of all mesh together?
Well, no, there was a little rivalry. Yeah, a little rivalry. Yeah, there was always going to have a rivalry between Lewiston and Auburn, I think. Especially with the high school.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. What were the conflicts about, do you remember?
One day.
Jeez. I don't know. Jeez. Just, you know, thinking that one place is better than the other. And, you know, it wasn't anything major, but it was always little. Even today, I mean, when some of my cousins live in Auburn, they say, well, you know, Auburn is so much better than Lewis.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, you know. Nothing major, but yeah.
Were you ever made to feel uncomfortable about the fact that your family is French Canadian? Is there ever an incident that ever happened with you or your family?
No, I don't think so. Not around here. There's too many French families that it wouldn't happen, you know.
Right.
Well, you say that. Yeah, there has been. I always remember this one. My brother-in-law's girlfriend. She came from here when they were boys born here, and she's not French or whatever. And whenever we make a mistake, you know, whenever we talk and everything else, and she'd laugh at us all the time. So I kept saying, sometimes I'm gonna back at her somehow. So one day she did. One time too often, and I says, you know what? I would love to hear you speak French. That set her up.
How would you compare the ethnic conflicts in Lewiston and Auburn during your time as a mill worker to the ethnic conflicts that have risen in the past few years with the Somali
people? I find it very similar because, you know, people weren't accepted back then, and they're doing the same thing with the Somalians, you know.
And when you say that people weren't accepted, that was like
the French.
And it was local, exactly.
I say history repeats itself, and I think it does.
How do you feel about the way that Lewiston has responded to the Somali community?
Well, the way we both feel is, as long as the Somalians come here to work, it's fine, you know. But if they come here just to get welfare, that's not good, you know.
Do you ever interact with the Somali community or outside of shopping or something like that?
I haven't, no. No.
Is there anything else you want to say about the
Somalians?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I that's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. Because my daughter lives in Georgia, and they were in Georgia, and they kind of took over. So, I don't know, but, you know, from what I've heard from her, it wasn't great. So I don't want to judge, but, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I have not had any contact with them, so.
And what do you think about Museum LA's mission to preserve the history of the mills?
I think it's wonderful. I think it's terrific. And we keep saying, well, we're going to have to go down there. We haven't yet, but.
You mean to the museum?
Yeah.
And if you could portray one thing about Mill Life to the curators of Museum LA, what would it be and why?
It would be, how hard the people worked in there for their livelihood and the struggles were so, you know.
The struggle, just like daily.
Exactly. Because just walking through the mills when I'd have to go to the nurse's station or something and say, my God, how can these people do this, you know? Because, I mean, it was always so fast, they had to be so fast at doing everything. They talk about, you know, tension in there.
Yeah.
It was very, very difficult, I thought.
Did they have, were their supervisors, like, always watching them or breathing down their neck? Or were
pretty much. Supervisors were right there. You know, hey, you gotta get more out, more work out.
Were they treated well, the workers, or were they sort of pushed?
Well, I'd say they were being pushed. I mean, in today's society, it wouldn't demand so much, I think.
Right. And were there a lot of injuries, do you remember?
I don't remember any injuries. My husband would probably remember more, but I don't remember. Like I said, being in the office and stuff, I didn't see everything that was going on. There was a few, but not that many that I remember.
Is there anything? I'm just trying to get, a real feeling of what
it was like.
What Lewiston was like during the heyday of the
Yeah.
And I guess I can really picture when you talk about like Elizabeth Street being lined with shops, and I just had this picture of lots of young people and no one walking around.
Oh yeah, definitely.
How did the weather affect? I'm from California, so coming here, the weather is like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was big shock.
Yeah, I bet it was.
I couldn't imagine. I've been reading about like the history of the mills and what conditions were like, and I couldn't imagine how cold it would get, or just how... the winters are so severe here. I didn't know if like, it really affected the work in the mills.
Well, not really, because I think all the people were used to this weather,
yeah.
You know, because... They came from Canada, which is even colder than here.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a big change for them. So, you get used to it, you know. We've seen years have so much snow that they had to close down the streets, and the kids would go sliding down the big, the big Rutland Hill, not Rutland, yeah, it's called Powell Hill, isn't it? Yeah. I don't know if you know that, where that is, but the big hill anyways, and the kids could go sliding there because everything was closed down, and the snow was like up to here.
Yeah.
And,
that's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. This weather right now is pretty darn cold for this time of the year, though.
Yeah.
It is. Usually not this cold in May. This is like March winds right now.
Yeah. I know, I was remembering it wasn't this cold last year.
No.